Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Youth Unplugged, brought to you by the Bank of St. Lucia. It's the second edition of Youth Unplugged for the year 2023, and I'm joined with none other than Miss Alicia Ali. A very common name, a well-known name, probably even a household name in St. Lucia.
Oh, please, I don't think so. It's been a while.
A household name, and I saw the name, I saw the picture. She looks familiar, but I didn't know. Right, so when I came to work this afternoon, somebody asked me who's my guest, and she was on TV. She was on TV. Oh, television. Anyways, you'll tell us. Yes, that's a good afternoon, Miss Ali, and Happy New Year to you.
Oh, many happy returns. Can we still say that? It's like the 19th of January.
I was actually wondering, it's the 19th. I think you could say...
No, but like in the West Indies, we can say that once it's like the first time we're seeing you for the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it could be July.
Happy New Year. Yeah. I heard July is a little too extreme. That's kind of what I think. Let's put a cap. The next big event when the year starts is obviously Valentine's. Mm. Right? So after Valentine's...
You can't say Happy New Year.
You can't say it again. Right. Okay, that's my take on it. All right. So good afternoon, Miss Ali. You good?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm well. We actually have similar colors on today. This is not purple. It's mauve.
I don't know. Yes.
It's not close. And I had to ask her what's her favorite color. And that's not something I normally ask on Youth Unplugged, but... She had the most color coordination I've seen for the year. You understand?
Well, you know, I have to be a little bit extra, and everybody who knows me will tell you I'm a little bit extra all around. So,
The glasses, the lipstick, the cup, the phone case.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hold on. I mean, phone case.
Yeah, phone case, the hair.
Oh.
And the top.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's purple all around.
Yeah. A little bit obvious, huh?
Yeah. So, that's the first question for today. What's your favorite color?
You know, it's really hard for me to really pick a favorite color, you know.
But for today, your favorite color is obviously purple. All right. Okay. So the first question I had was, tell me a bit about yourself. So I guess I know that part. So you could just leave that one out and we just continue.
The thing is, what do you want to know? Because there's just so much to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So let's narrow it down. What do you want to know?
You just had to go. Like,
yeah.
Right.
So I'm from Viewfort.
Okay.
Born and bred, Black Bay Viewfort. I went to the Plainview Combined School. And I went to Viewfort Compre for like 2 years before I was transferred to St. Joseph's Convent.
Oh.
Did the 2 years up at A-level.
Mm-hmm,
so
that's
like the schooling thing. What else you want to know?
Okay, yeah. Let's pause right there. Because I want to just dive into the school. Mm. It's very unusual for somebody to just leave Viewfort Compre and just go to convent there. You're saying that like, you know, you just...
So what happened was my dad always wanted me to go to the convent. Mm-hmm. And I think the year that I wrote Common Entrance, I... came in the top, whatever, 5, 10, doesn't really matter, because I am completely against standardized exams, because I learn differently. I am not an academic person.
Okay.
So it was a shock for me that I scored really high at Common Entrance, and my mom wanted me to go to Viewfort Compre. So I went to Viewfort Compre. It was close. I had all my friends. I didn't have to travel. I lived in Viewfort. But then my parents split up, and my mom moved to Castries, and I had to move with my mom, and so... When they went to the Ministry of Education and said, hey, we need to transfer,
You had the grids already.
Convent.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. they're saying, okay.
That was it.
So long live your white and blue. Every time a convent girl is here,
my pink and gray. I never forget my pink and gray.
Yeah, but you didn't wear blue and gray because you didn't get to the high. Is it?
No, blue and gray is for the boys.
That's for the boys.
Yes, and then you have the white and gray for the A-level department.
Sorry, Viewfort people. I didn't know.
I am offended on behalf of our entire district.
Because I wear the blue. That's crazy. There's only... Okay. No.
We're just going to leave that there. We're just going to like skip forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, modern day, you have... I mean, done some academic work. But did that start probably at the convent? You say academics is not your thing, but I kind of beg to differ because I saw the bio. You know, I told you that a while ago. The bio looking so thick. You understand? I honestly don't know where to start. The bio is so thick. So I believe that academics is your thing. Although you're telling me no, I'll go against that and say academics is your thing. So let's talk about that.
No, okay. So academics is not my thing. Academics is a means to an end. As we've been told in society, you know, you need to have these paper qualifications for you to move up. I grew up poor in Viewfort. I did not want to grow up broke, as in I did not want my adult life to be me broke or living from paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
A way out of that was to ensure that I was well qualified. Now, to be well qualified, right, is very difficult for me. And I will tell you this, going back to the fact that I did not have a lot of money, when I left school at 18, 19, I left A-level, my parents couldn't afford to send me to university or any of those things. So I started working at Radio St. Lucia, then started my media career. Mm-hmm. That was some 15 years ago. And from there, I moved on to the Star. And while I was at the Star, again, Rick Wayne and May Wayne were there. And, you know, we were having all of these conversations constantly. And again, it was this emphasis on you need academics to elevate yourself. So I decided to apply for my undergrad to do it online. An undergrad usually takes 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 6 years.
Boy.
Because I did fail a couple of the courses. And I was also paying for the courses as I was doing them. Uh-huh. Right? So again, money tight. Like it takes
you
a while.
You probably have to take a little pause. Exactly. You start back, you probably one semester. You say, boy, this time, looking a little harder. So,
you the know, hardest thing for me, I had a calculus module and I studied so hard for that. The college boys would know Ninja. Ninja was tutoring me for like a year mm-hmm. in calculus. I answered all 12 calculus questions like a boss. Bro, when the exam came out, the results came out, I got 1%.
I know what you was doing on the exam.
So, I mean, that's what I mean. I learned differently. Mm-hmm. And so I'm more of a practical person. So my first master's degree is a practical degree. It was in media practice for development and social change. So that was already in line with what I was doing in terms of mm-hmm. media and broadcast, filmmaking, directing, producing, editing. I mean,
Just right up the avenue. I mean, there's no getting away from it at that point.
And I mean, we want to talk about development. I live in a development region. I have experienced the problems that development professionals are trying to solve or have put on the agenda as like the big thing.
As a small island developing state, obviously, one of our problems would be education, tertiary education, mm-hmm. getting quality tertiary education out to, you know, young people, leaving secondary school, etc. It's a common theme, you know.
Well, I think we've done quite a bit with tertiary education. The Sir Arthur Lewis Community College, I know they are trying and they're trying to evolve with the times.
Definitely.
And then we also have, we must always big up UWE, the University of the West Indies,
That's the Caribbean gift to itself, you know.
That's right.
That's one of our gifts.
I think we like to give ourselves, we underestimate ourselves as West Indians and what the quality of our education. But me having studied in the UK, I have traveled all over the world. And I can tell you, people in the West Indies, our curriculum is just as good, if not better, mm-hmm. than a lot of the regions in the world. And we need to stop selling ourselves short on that.
You're very correct in saying that. Because actually, last week, I gave a course syllabus to some of my students at the school. And a lot of the things that basically was in our course syllabus is what you would see in the UK level schools for the equivalent of A level. So when you search for something from our curriculum on Google, the first thing you'll see is something.co.uk. You understand, our labs, very similar to what they do as well. It's not a big difference. So when you leave and you eventually go to the university level, it's not a huge jump like, oh, well, you know, I really feeling it in my first year. No, actually did not really feel it in my first year when I went out to university at the West Indies. Probably just because I spent a little time out of school. When I first went to university, it was like, okay, the first year is not bad, but the second year, the degree is where it really gets, you know, intense. Mm-hmm. But the first year, no, because you get a nice little cushion when you go to our institute, which is the SALCC. Not because I work in there talking, you know, so strongly about the school. It's actually because it's a fact. You understand? A lot of time people say, well, I study nice in my child too.
It is a waste of time.
And every week I say to you, it is not a waste of time. It helps you to develop. Firstly, when you leave St. Lucia and you go to school, you do not have certain skills. You understand? When I say certain skills.
And it can be a shock when you leave and, you know, your scope of reference is just confined to St. Lucia mm-hmm. and, you know, our culture and that sort of thing. Because for me, even though I had traveled quite a bit when I went to live in the UK, I mean, it was a complete culture shock for me.
And we have to talk about that. She won an award in...
Oh, 2017. That was, I got the United Kingdom's Foreign and Commonwealth Office Shevening Award.
Okay, now that's something that is grand. It's a lot. It's something to talk about. It's a mouthful as well, because a lot of it, as you said, you know, not academic. And I wanted you to explain exactly what that means. I keep pushing you that direction.
Oh, yeah. So you just wanted me to tell you about the courses that I failed.
No, I didn't want you to tell me that. But, you know, to keep pushing.
Yes. I am not a traditional A student with academics, right? So you can't give me a textbook and just expect me to regurgitate things. I need to be able to see. I need to be able to do. You know, those in the education sector will probably better be able to categorize what kind of learning that I do, right? Because my son is the same way, right? He is an A student, But that is because I had to have trial and failure to be able to understand my learning style.
To pass it on to.
Exactly. Okay. So when, in fact, Ayodele Hippolyte, who is a mentor of mine, she harassed me for years to apply for Chevening. I'm like, I'm not going to apply for that, you know? What's the point of shooting myself in the foot? You know already I don't have the grades.
I've been saying the same thing. Like, if you've been honest, I've been saying the same thing. A couple of years I said I'd apply for it, and I never applied for it. You're like the third Chevening scholar I've had on the show.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm not going to apply for it. So one day, I think she was just so frustrated with me. She just like screamed at me and yelled at me. She's just like sending me the link to apply, and she would not let me. And that's one of the things that I appreciate. Ayodele also taught me at Sir Arthur. I appreciate about all of my teachers. They refuse to let me not try. They refuse to let me stagnate. So after being bullied into applying for Chevening at this point, I applied. And again, my undergraduate degree, I did not have a first class degree. I had maybe a lower second class, undergrad degree.
Degree, no?
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody checks for that, right?
When you go to the interview, they're asking you if you get first class honors.
That's what I think. I mean, and one of the things that really struck me was the interview questions for Chevening was not focused on academics. It was about your leadership skill, your community connections, you know, what have you done not just to develop yourself, but to develop the people around you and the contributions you have made to your society. And how do you intend to positively impact your society should you be given this opportunity? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I didn't even have to think to answer those questions because, again, I came up in the youth movement from a very young age, even from, you know, Vieux-Fort. I mean, National Students Council, National Youth Council, Youth Parliament, and all of these things.
Your mother put you in a good bit of things when you're in school to
actually,
make sure.
Actually, that was just me.
That was you? Oh,
that
my.
Was just because I was so anafe. That was just me.
So you just needed to find yourself in something while you are.
Well, you know, it was very serendipitous because none of the things that I did were very planned, right? So it was, hey, you know, you have great leadership skills. You should, you know, go up for National Student Council elections. Or, you know, hey, you know, can you help me? Devon Stanley, who was the president of the SALCC Students Council during mm-hmm. my tenure.
Was SALCC like, have a student council?
No. During my tenure, our student council was very active.
I'm actually not sure if that's right? actually still a thing.
And he was like, yeah, Ali, I need you to be my campaign manager. You know, it was just a thing where people saw the potential or they saw what I was doing and understood the vision and then asked me to assist. Mm-hmm. And so that is how that happened. And so when Chevening came along, I was just able to apply that. So I volunteered quite a bit during my younger days. I think up until I was, 30, I did a lot of volunteering service, not just on a district level, but on a country and a regional level as well. I served as a CARICOM youth ambassador. And again, that was by happenstance as well.
That is actually still a thing. And people, if you're still wondering, youth ambassadors, it's still a thing. Even OECS has a little bit
of... Yes, the Europort ambassadors
right,
as well.
That was actually going on during mm-hmm. COVID and that sort of thing was happening. I guess you were probably a part of that. You're definitely a part of that.
Well, I worked at OECS during that time.
Yes. So, yeah, you had some influence in that in that entire thing happening.
But so Chevening, when it came down to it, it was not just about academics. It was about my personal development, what I have contributed, you know, given the skills, the talent, and also how that aligned with the development, not just for my country, but for my region as well. And I have always been a regionalist. And I mean, It was such a shock when I got the email for the interview because I applied and, you know, a few months passed.
That's
like,
the second part. People remember that. I have the hair in that part. There's an interview component.
So, now, I'm a clown. So when I went for the interview, because I was super nervous for the interview, the internet was messing around that day, right? I can't remember. I didn't have any water. Like, I was in such a mess the morning of my interview, and it was a virtual interview. So my camera was not in 720. My camera was like a 320, you know. Yeah, for those of you who don't understand that, quality. Let me tell you, the grainy, dark kind of thing. And because my webcam had broken down, and oh my gosh, it was so horrible. So then when I got on the panel, there were like five people. There were five people on the panel getting ready to interview me. Mm-hmm. And I looked at them, I'm like, listen, I am so nervous right now. I was like, I don't think we should do this. And they all started laughing. you know, and they were really nice because they took like a moment to just say, like, you know, Alicia, it's okay, calm down, you know, I have a little bit of anxiety, so, you know. So I just spent, so there's a set amount of time for you to do your interview.
Mm-hmm.
I finished in half the time. And when I finished, and they said, well, that's the last of the question. I was like, oh my goodness, did I fail this? I was like, did I not answer properly? So I was very upfront with them. And they were like, no, you were very succinct and all-encompassing. I said, well, that's probably because of my media background.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we just chatted for the rest of the time. And a few months later, I was on my way to the University of Sussex. To do my master's. Something that I never thought would have been possible coming from my background. You know, it was a struggle to finance my undergraduate degree. And I never intended to pay for my master's degree.
I always tell people that. I didn't pay for my first degree. I got a scholarship to go to Barbados. Lucky me, right? Let me say bless me. Yes, as I got a scholarship in my first degree, and I kept saying that when I do anything in the postgraduate realm, I wouldn't be paying for it. And that's actually not the case. I'm actually paying for a postgraduate program. But let me tell you what. We do for a quick commercial break.
Yes.
Only see we come back in time, we're going to be talking a little bit more about what you do, Miss Ali, and how exactly you got there. Stay tuned with us.